Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
As you can see, today is going to look a little bit different than a traditional Sunday morning sermon, but we're excited for today. If you don't know me, my name is April Colquitt. I'm our Wellspring Kids pastor. This is my awesome husband, Eric, our student pastor. And one of the things that Eric and I get to do together here at Wellspring is we get to lead family ministries together, which is pretty cool and pretty awesome. And there's nobody else I'd rather do it with.
That's awesome.
But it's also really unique that we not only get to lead family ministry together, but that we have a incredible lead pastor and his wife, Trey and Danielle Kelly, who also, y'all clap for them. They are just as passionate about family ministries as we are, and they make it a priority for us to champion families and to make sure that we have resources to help families and support families. And so we are so, so blessed to have you guys leading us. And thank you for loving what we do here and for loving families as much as we do. So we all kind of wanted to sit down together today because as much as we are for families, we are also for our community. Yes. And one of the biggest things that happens in our community every single year is back to school. Mm-hmm. It affects thousands and thousands of families. And so we wanted to just lean into that today and kind of come alongside you as your church and have a conversation together about how we can be unified around this big thing that's happening in so many of our lives and be able to support you and encourage you and just kind of help us all get ready for back to school.
Yes. Oh, I'm so excited.
Very excited.
Woohoo!
Very excited. And again, we are Danielle and I, we're passionate about families. We're passionate about our own family. But as we lead this church, we are incredibly passionate about being a place that grows families. Mm-hmm. We talk all the time about, we literally believe God changes family trees here.
That's right.
And that's what we want to be a part of, all families in our community. And so simply today is just an opportunity for us to talk about what that looks like, because we honestly believe the local church is the best place for families to grow and for families to thrive.
Yes.
And I'll say real quick, if you're in the room today and you say, hey, man, my kids are gone. I have some grandkids, but they're not my responsibility. you're single and kids aren't in your plan. Here's why the next generation should still matter to you. Mm-hmm. They're still going to be the leaders making decisions in about 20 to 30 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so if you think you got 20 to 30 years left on earth, you are interested in the next generation. Mm-hmm. They're going to be our community leaders. They're going to be doctors. They're going to be our mechanics. They're going to be our repair people. They're going to be people who come to our house, and we have no idea what's wrong, and they do. And we want them to tell us the truth.
Yes.
And so it is important that we invest in growing the next generation well.
Yes, that is. It is. We should all be invested in this, even if we don't currently have children living in our home. And I know for some of you today, you are actually the child living in someone's home. If you are a student today, what I hope that you hear is that there is a community of people that want to be invested in your life. So if you hit a roadblock this year, if you're confused about something, you can look around this room, you can come to this place, and there are people who want to be in your life, that want to help you in your spiritual growth, that want to be a part of what's going on in your life. And so today, we hope that what you hear is the investment that we feel like God's asked us to do in your life, and it will be better for you as we do this together. And we've experienced this in our own families. I've always said that the local church, this church, has allowed us to survive. 16 years of parenting is more the way I would put it. Because between the four of us, they have three kids, we have three kids. We both have rising sophomores, we both have rising eighth graders, and then we have a sixth grader and they have fourth grader. So we are right in the middle. If you're a parent in the room, we're right in the middle of this with you. We don't have all the answers, but we do love you and we need your help as well sometimes. So
that's true.
We're so glad to do all of this together.
So let's dive in. Guys, you're sort of the experts in this. You're more in the nitty-gritty than we are. So going into back to school, kind of taking into account everybody's here, everybody's watching online, what are some of the biggest challenges, obstacles? What are the questions families ask you over and over again?
I would say being in kids ministry with preschool and elementary parents, I have a lot of conversations Get to talk to kids a lot, get to talk to parents and grandparents, and other people sometimes are bringing kids to church. I just talked to somebody out in the lobby this morning about she's not raising children right now, but she's investing in the lives of some people that live near her. We get a lot of questions about things about activities, you know, what level of activity should we be allowing our children to do at this age or that age? Are we doing too much? Are we not doing enough? Should we have them in this, this, and this? I get a lot of questions about school. You know, parents have a lot of challenges and things when it comes to working with the administration of a school. Sometimes there are teacher conflicts or there's conflicts in a classroom at school, or people want to know, I'm thinking about homeschooling my kids. What do you think? I get a lot of questions. You probably don't get this so much with students, but I get a lot of questions about discipline. People want to know, what is the best way to discipline my kids at this age of their life, or what is the best method for disciplining?
Other questions. So let's talk about family time. I have a teenager now. Is one night a meet, one meal a week enough for family time? Does that qualify?
Is that all I
Is that enough?
Do?
Does there need to be more? We have to hang out
with
them. Is that
all we can endure?
Yeah. What do we do about social media? How do we handle that? How do we help our students with that? When do we give our student a phone? When do we give them access to a phone? These are all big questions. And how do we answer that? Well, the first thing we would say is if you're already answering or asking those questions, then you're in a good place.
Yes. Yes.
You're already thinking in the right ways. But as these guys said, we hope you hear from us today that we're parents too, and we've tried some things that didn't work.
Yes.
I said, I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah, you do it right every time, right? We've tried some things that have worked, but we're parents that are also in family ministry. So we love thinking about families. We love thinking about kids and students and strategies to help them be all that they can be, mm-hmm. and be the best that they can be. Mm-hmm. And so that's mm-hmm. kind of how we're going to approach this today. And we want to partner with you. We want to help you along that way.
Yeah, and you are the number one influencer in
yes.
your child's life.
Yes.
You are the best leader for your child. God has equipped you to do that as the parent of your child. You may not feel like it every day,
right?
But we believe that God has equipped you to be the best leader for your children and in your home. And so what our job is to give you experiential guidance, you
yes.
know, support and help in your role as the parent. You are the expert in your child's life. And so we want to be able to offer you just some guidance. And what Eric and I do is we read a lot. We listen to a lot of things. We try to stay current on trends and culture and what's going on in families' lives and with kids and with students, so that when you come to us, we are able to help you find a solution or to overcome a challenge based on what we've learned and what we've studied and what we know is out there. One of the ways that we do that is we have a parent resource wall in our kids' hallway, which anybody can go and look at any time. Somebody asked me earlier, can we take those books? Mm-hmm. And the question is, you can look at those books while you're here. You can take pictures of them. You can scan the barcode on the back. It'll pull up Amazon, and you can go right to it. But they are for you to browse and look at. And those are resources that we have vetted.
Yeah.
We've read them. We've looked through them. We know who the authors are. They're trusted resources for you. So that's one way that we support you, and we can offer guidance there. But we also have social media mm-hmm. where we put a lot of tips and conversation starters and things that you can try with your kids at home. I sometimes, from our Wellspring Kids page, I'll post a recipe once in a while because moms, dads, don't we all just need a fresh meal once in a
yes.
while?
Yes. Just something to help
take
us.
The guesswork out of it. So there's lots of things that we try to do to help.
I won't be
help.
Posting recipes. I'll let April handle
it. Drive-through Hardee's. I've seen you in the Hardee's pickup line a couple of times. For us, we use those resources as parents. One of my favorite, I'm going to do a little plug here, is the Parent Q app that you can get on your phone. I love this because oftentimes on Sunday mornings, we're working and doing things. I don't get back to the hallway to look at all the fresh new resources that we have. And this is actually, you can have it on your phone, and it tells you what your child is doing in their current phase, things they may be thinking. Actually, stuff they're learning, it goes with our curriculum here at Wellspring, yeah. questions, stuff they do on Sunday morning. And it also keeps a countdown for the approximate number of weeks that you kiddos have left at home, which is frightening and also sometimes celebratory, depending on the week. But I will tell parents that sometimes if your kids get on this, like I have a child that likes to steal my phone, Jacob, and he'll bring it to me often and be like, Mom, you only have this many weeks left with David. Don't you think it's a good time for us to go get ice cream as a family? Like, he'll totally capitalize on trying to intentionally have family time. But it's a great, great resource if you have it on it. And last hour you mentioned, parents, if you do already have that app, this is the time of year where you kind of upgrade their school year. Go in and put the right one. But it's a great, great resource that we use. So make sure you do that if you already have the ParentQ app. So
it is awesome.
Yeah. Lots of resources.
Yeah, so we have all the resources for parents to take advantage of. But you can also know that your students, your kids, every week, they are being taught important lessons. They're being able to deal with how to have self-control, how to make good decisions, how to value family, all to help orient the family around Jesus and to build their lives around him. And that's what our goal is every week.
Yeah. The same questions that you're asking as a parent, we're already addressing in kids and students every week, which is kind of one way that we partner with you. We're also partnering with them. We're teaching them. We're trying to go ahead and teach them those character traits and skills and spiritual development that they need. We also, another thing that we do that I think is great, and you might have touched on this earlier, but a value of being a part of a church our size is that we try to connect you to people who are right there with you or who are seasons ahead of you already in your journey, so that you have someone to encourage you, to come alongside of you, and to kind of help you figure things out as you're dealing with things in your children's lives and your own life. We are extremely passionate about one of our core values, circles are better than rows, that life change, that the best ministry happens in relationships. And so we try to connect people so that that can happen. And one of the values of a church like ours is there is always going to be somebody, regardless if you're a single parent, a married parent, if you're going through a divorce, if you are a parent of adopted kids or foster kids, there is going to be somebody that we can partner you with to help walk with you through those challenges. I had the opportunity earlier this summer to sit down with some moms before we went to camp. We kind of figured out that they had some unique challenges with their kids, and so I got to introduce them to one another, and we sat down and they got to chat and encourage one another. But I was able to do that because they made themselves known here. You know, they came to me and said, here are some questions that I have. And I said, I know what we can do. You guys need to all meet. You got to talk together. And that's hugely valuable in all of, we do that together. We have other people in our life that we partner with, or we call on the phone and say, I'm going through this, help me. And it's just a huge, huge part of being a part of a huge part of being a part of a church.
Yes.
It's so poetic, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And so we're not promising all the answers to everything, but we are promising community. Mm-hmm. We are promising support to help you through these things.
I want to pick up on that real quick, because the whole thing we've been talking about so far are the questions you're asking about your kids. And the reason we ask questions is because we assume we're doing it wrong, and we get nervous about it. And there's lots of places we can go for answers, and we can go online, and we can go to other people, but there's nothing that assures us, hey, how do I know I'm doing the right thing? And ultimately what we're saying here is, while we ourselves are not experts, we have access to enough experts. And we know what we're building on here is the rock of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And so you can feel comforted when you have any question about any parenting decision. We can be a place for you to come to so we can partner with you in that. We keep saying partner with you. The reason we keep saying that is because we are not capable of truly leading your children spiritually, or leading your students spiritually. We're going to try. We're going to create great environments for them. But you will be the spiritual leader for your child.
That's right.
You will be the spiritual leader for your student. That is who God has called you to be. And he has called us as your church to partner with you, to resource you, to champion you, to equip you, to do everything we can to make you the best spiritual leader you can be. Mm-hmm. And that is our promise. that is what we do each day. And so whatever the question is, whatever the struggle, we want to be the safest place for you to come and say, hey, this happened. Hey, we had this question. Hey, what should we do about this? And we want you to know that we are going to be able to point you in the right direction. Not because of us, but because of the God we serve and because of the church he's allowed us to create.
That's right.
So that nervousness, that anxiety you feel as a parent, we understand.
Yeah.
We feel it too. And we're saying there's a safe place to land here.
Yeah. And let me just add to that, that it's what we love to do.
Oh, yeah.
We love it. Don't ever, ever feel like you are bothering us by coming and asking us questions or saying, hey, do you have a good book for this? Or do you know where I can? Like, it is what we're called to do. And it is our joy to be able to have conversations with you about your family.
That's really funny. Yeah. No one made us do this job. Y'all get that, right? Like, they didn't call us one day and say, y'all have to be pastors. You have to be ministers. Like, we get to do this.
Yeah.
It is the greatest calling of my life. I say it all the time, and Eric doesn't believe me. If I don't play the lottery, but if I played the lottery and won the lottery, I would still do this every day for free because I love it that much. Like, we love being able to partner with people and point them towards Jesus.
Yeah. And I wanted to talk about one other thing that we get questions about sometimes from parents before we move on to the next thing, because this is so prominent right now, and we get people all the time will say, you know, my child is wrestling with anxiety, or they're feeling anxious about this, that, and the other. And we don't have a ton of time to dig down on that right now in this conversation, but I do just want to mention it because we know what a big deal it is, and we see it. And so I'd want to just encourage you to know that we see it too, and it's all over our society. You know that. Anxiety is kind of on the rise, and after this last year, it's not gotten any better. And so while it's a big topic and it can be a hard thing to figure out, know that some anxiety is rooted in restlessness. There are so many different things that can cause anxiety, but one of the things is just the not knowing of life. It is what is happening this week. What is on my plate this week? What do I have to do in this place this week? What is expected of me when I go here to school? What is expected of me when I go here to this practice? What is expected of me from this coach or that teacher? There's a lot of different things that can lead to a child's anxiety. And one of the things that we know that kids and students don't know is that they need structure. They cannot articulate that to you. They do not necessarily know it or feel it, but they feel the side effects of it when they don't have it. And so I think something that we can do as parents is to give them structure where and when we can. We can't in every area of life, but there are some places where we can help create that routine and that structure in our home. Even something as simple as saying, hey, it's Sunday night. Let's talk about what we have going on this week. Let's everybody sit down. Let's have a family meeting. I used to hate family meetings. My dad used to make us do it. But there's value in it. Yeah. And to be able to just sit down and have some time intentionally as a family to talk about what's going on and let people ask questions.
Yeah. Pause. Yeah. Do you remember the last time we had a family meeting?
Oh, gosh.
Let's hear it.
What was it about? Oh, I know.
Tell us.
Somebody breaks
when
something.
I yelled at the umpire.
She yelled at the umpire. Yeah, all right, that's all.
That was from a couple
and
weeks.
We have family meetings as needed. We don't have them.
It's usually when one of us has lost our temper. No, I'm just kidding. But that was the last family meeting we had, was me having to tell my children to don't yell at people who are in authority above them.
So add some structure to your family's life. It might seem like a small step to do, but even decide ahead of time, here's what our schedule's going to look like. Here's what we're going to do this week. For example, you could say, hey, Friday nights, that's going to be for friends. You're going to hang out with friends on Friday nights. Saturdays, it's going to be family time. We're going to catch up. We're going to get back together. Sundays, we're going to be at church. That's what we do. It's part of our routine. It's non-negotiable. You can make Monday nights dinner night for your family. You could and then make Wednesday nights for students. But think ahead. Think about what you're going to do as a family. Decide together. Put it out there. Make sure your students and your kids know. And then it will add that structure. It will add that stability, and anxiety will go down. And that will be so important.
And here's some good news. School adds structure to our lives. Yay!
Oh my gosh, I have been, if you've had a conversation with me in the past 3 weeks, the first words out of my mouth are, oh my gosh, I can't wait for school to start because I need that anchor. I need that rhythm. I need that because it breeds my anxiety as a parent. It's like, oh my gosh, what am I supposed to do today? And how am I keep everybody fed and entertained and all the things? And so, when we started talking about some of the things we needed to discuss today, I was so comforted as a parent because a lot of the things that you're wondering, we think, and that I know I'm wondering, really don't have a lot to do with their actual school day. The back to school part, when they get there, I don't know how to do algebra anymore. I can't help them if they needed my help. I can't do old math, much less new math. So that's not part of my worry as a parent, and I don't think I'm alone in that. It's more about the whole child and not just their school day.
Mm. Right. We've got so many things that cover their physical school development and all of those things. If you haven't talked to me yet about parenting, then you haven't heard me talk about my favorite book for parents called Are My Kids on Track?
Oh,
it's a fantastic book. I love it. I've been talking about it for years. It's great. If you haven't read it, go look at it on our parent resource wall. But there is a quote from this book where the authors of the book actually are certified licensed counselors for kids and adolescents. And one of them writes this. She says, between the school and the doctor's office, we build a child's cognitive and physical development, charting progress, logging percentages, identifying gaps, and layering support. We have the mind and body covered, but what about the heart? What about the heart?
Yeah.
We do all of the things that we need to do to make sure that kids are developing physically. We have them in sports. We're trying to make sure that they eat more than, pancakes and Doritos every day. We're making sure that they're growing and that they have the shoes and the clothes that they need to fit their growing bodies. We make sure that they're learning all the things that they need to learn at school and that their grades are keeping up. But what about the heart?
Yeah, the development of the heart is such a big deal. It's as big a deal as the cognitive and physical development. So we have to think about that as well. And it really boils down to three categories. It's the emotional, the social, and the spiritual side when you think about the heart. It's the most important way that a child develops. And it's when you're thinking about this, it's not what they'll do, but who they'll be.
Mm-hmm.
When you're thinking about the heart, you're thinking about who they'll be
mm-hmm.
from the emotional side, the social side, and the spiritual side.
Yeah, I mean, it's who they will be is what kind of friend are they going to be?
Yeah.
What kind of sibling are they going to be? What kind of employee are they going to be one day? Mm. What kind of partner or spouse are they going to become? How are they going to be in relationships with people? What kind of parent are they going to be one day? It's a big deal. It's a big, all of those areas of development that Eric just mentioned affect the kind of person that they're going to become. And while I think that school tries to sprinkle in the emotional and social development for them when and where they can, teachers and administrators have enough on their plate just trying to keep up with the individual cognitive academic development of all of the kids that they're responsible for. And I think we all know that school is not the place where we're sending our kids for spiritual development. But when it comes to emotional, spiritual, and social health, this is where we can shine as a church. This is where we can bring a lot of help and support for families.
Yeah, this is where we bring value to the community because on a weekly basis, we're teaching principles, we're teaching values, we're teaching biblical truths to kids, students, and even adults on a weekly basis that encompass all three of these things. And so you might be a parent or a family that says, hey, you know what? The spiritual side, that's not something that I want to focus on a whole lot. I'd rather my student or my child figure that out on their own. You can know as a family that we are still covering the emotional side and the social side on a weekly basis in our environments.
Yeah. I mean, one of the ways that we do that is, I mean, I know you talk about this in students and some of the serving and camp and some of that stuff.
Yeah, and one of the other things I would say about that is a lot of times you'll hear people, we've said it before, at the end of the day, you want your child to grow up and to be a good person.
Mm, yeah.
You want them to be a good person. What does that mean? Well, you want them to be respectable. You want them to be kind. You want them to be loving. You want them to do the right thing. Those are the things that we're working on a weekly basis in our environments, both kids and students. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, so let's get practical here for a second. What do we do? What does this look like? Well, in students, for instance, we just finished a 3-week series all about authority, all about how to treat authority in our life, and all about how if we're in authority, how do we treat others? One of the things we talked about is the authorities in your life, they're real people. They have feelings too.
Even umpires.
Huh?
Even umpires.
That's right. Even umpires. They mess up sometimes.
I know.
We still have to show respect.
Or a lot.
We still have to show love. So that's an example of what we talk about. That kind of thing is helpful all throughout life.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In every stage of life. We're about to do a series in students all about change and about what happens when we encounter big changes in our lives. Again, something super helpful, very important. Throughout your whole life. Now, we're going to talk about these things from a spiritual point of view, but it's helpful stuff. We talked about camp earlier, and we've heard us talk a lot about camp. Camp's fun. We just got back from there. We have a lot of good time. But there are other things that happen at camp that are important. All throughout the whole week, students are competing together. They're working together. We're teaching them teamwork. Mm-hmm. We're teaching them how to be a part of a team and work together on stuff. We also teach them to support other teams, to cheer them on, so that they can be a part of something bigger. So that's, and another part of camp is you go away from your parents for a week. That's part of maturing, a part of being on your own, figuring it out for yourself. These sixth graders had to figure it out on their own.
Yeah.
We saw them wandering around camp. They were trying to figure it out. So camps and
we helped them though. We didn't just let them roam.
Yes. No, yeah.
Please be clear about that.
They need their space.
We brought them all back. They all made it back.
We were watching them. Another thing that we do in students is we encourage them to serve. Mm-hmm. We encourage them to be a part of what we do on a weekly basis. We say it all the time. We could not do what we do on Sunday morning without our students.
Our
students being involved in every area of our ministries.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I will say this too as a parent. One of the biggest things I've said that this church has given our family is that at critical points in my kids' life, they learned that life wasn't all about them.
Yeah.
And they did that from serving and from being here and seeing it's not all about you. There's other people around you. And that it's one of the critical pieces as a parent that I've seen that serving does. So
it helps them be a part of something bigger than themselves.
Yes, exactly.
Something that gives them purpose in life. It teaches them leadership, teaches them how to work with people of all different ages. One quick story about that, and it relates to camp. We give students who have graduated an opportunity to come back and serve at camp as leaders. And we're seeing more and more students do that. And I can't tell you how amazing it is to see those student leaders come back and serve and lead students that are younger than them.
Mm-hmm.
Just the picture of them pouring into students as they were poured into. Such a beautiful way this all works together. But we are always working on practical things that they can use throughout their life. What do you guys, tell us about kids. That's what we do in students.
You said so many things about students that I want to talk about.
Go ahead.
So one of the things, I just want to say this about camp, because you guys don't, a lot of you don't get to see what goes on at camp, but there are so many like fun obstacle games, like obstacle course type stuff and relay things. And this year I don't know why, a part of the rec team.
It was awesome.
Because I'm just trying to help Eric however I can, baby.
I need it.
So I got to be out there and watch these kids figure out how to do obstacle courses together as a tribe. And at the beginning of the week, it is a mess. Like, nobody knows what's happening.
They're yelling
They
at
can't
each
figure
other.
Out anything. They're screaming at each other. Yeah. By the end of the week, they have learned how to work together. Like, they have figured out a rhythm, and it's awesome to see. So when you were talking about that, I started laughing because that's what comes to my mind. But also, as far as students serving, we will also have students that have served for a while, and it starts to help them figure out what they want to do with their life. Mm. You know, they find a passion, something that they really love, and they'll say, oh, I know I want to work with kids now, or I know I want to go into ministry now.
Yeah.
And that's a really cool benefit. And something else that I was thinking about, this wasn't intended to be a serving plug, but it teaches them follow through and commitment that somebody's depending on me for something and I need to show up.
Yep.
That's a big part of their social development and getting them ready for adulthood. But what we do in kids is a lot of the same thing. We teach every month in Wellspring Kids and even in preschool, they're learning something what we call a life app. It's basically a character skill like commitment or confidence or initiative. They're learning those things and then they have opportunities to exercise those in our environment on Sunday mornings through games and conversation. They talk about where their emotions come from. What do I do when I feel angry? How do I be a good friend? All of those things that we're really stopping down and having intentional time to speak about emotional, social, and spiritual things with kids. Yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, you're looking at me now.
Yeah.
No, this is all it's so fantastic. And I just want to make sure everybody understands everything we're talking about, all these benefits, the skills, they're all fantastic. They all flow out of a relationship with Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what we're building on. And we're teaching our children, our middle school and our high school students what it means to build a life on Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And for the parents in the room, it is critical for us if we want our children and we want our students to build their life on Jesus, it's critical that they see us building our lives on Jesus.
Yeah.
They are going to learn not from what we say. They're going to learn from what we do. And it's why me as a lead pastor and everything we do for adult environments in the same way are geared around helping us as adults grow our relationship with Jesus through small groups, through men's Bible studies, through women's Bible studies, through serving. That's all part of it because for you to be the best spiritual leader you can be, you have to be the most spiritually equipped you can be. And for us to partner with you in parenting, we also want to partner with you in spiritual development. It all goes together. It's all about helping all of us as much as we can each day wake up and say, all right, Jesus, today I'm going to find my identity in you, my purpose in you. I'm going to build my life on you. I'm going to walk in your power. I'm going to trust your strength. I'm going to use your gifts for your glory. Let's go change the world. And that, when we all can feel that a little more each day and wake up knowing that more each day, the anxieties and the questions about the kids, they don't go away, but they have a place.
Yeah.
They have a context. Mm-hmm. And we have a base, a platform of Jesus to step off of into all of those different areas.
Yes. Yeah. I think regardless, too, of how healthy you feel as an adult in your own spiritual life and your emotional and social life, this is the best place for you to come and continue growing in those areas. I mean, we were laughing the other day, like if we never grow past the age of 16 emotionally, then we're not going to be able to lead our 16 and 17-year-olds emotionally. But that's what we're doing here every week. I mean, we just did a whole 10-week series on the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, all of those things. We're all working together to grow these areas of our life so that we can be good leaders in the lives of the next generation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so real quick, we're kind of running out of time. So one of the questions I know you get and we get talking about being the spiritual leader and all these things is, what do you say to parents who just flat out say, hey, man, my kid doesn't want to come. My kid didn't like this. My kid didn't like that. My student doesn't like this. What do you say?
We say, let's have a conversation. Let's talk about it. Let's mm-hmm. figure out why that is. We want to do whatever it takes to help them be here, whether that's find some friends that they can connect with or find a leader to connect with, which I meant to say this earlier. We have incredible leaders in our kids and student environments.
Thank you if you serve.
And you as parents can be so proud of these leaders because they help us connect to these students and connect them to Jesus. But let's have a conversation. Let's talk about why they're not wanting to come.
Well, and here's what he means by that, because we've been doing this for 12 years now. Some of the greatest advancements we've made, in especially in student ministry, is through conversations. Because the kid didn't want to come because it wasn't good.
Yeah.
Whatever we were doing wasn't working.
Yeah.
And we weren't aware we were missing something. We had a parent finally willing to say, hey, here's what's wrong. We're like, thank you so much for telling us so we could make it better.
Right.
Because we want to be fantastic. We want your kids to love coming. We want your students to love coming in. So if there's a barrier there, have a conversation with us about it. Sometimes it's a relationship. Sometimes it's simply a conversation. But again, we want to partner with you in that so that we can make it as easy as possible for them to want to come.
Yeah.
But you're looking at me.
I am.
No, I said last hour as we were talking about this that I do think there are the parents who ask, how do I make my child come? And I want to tread carefully here, but just to remind you that you are the parent in the house, that you're in charge. And sometimes when it comes to spiritual matters, we forget that we're in charge and that we can make non-negotiables when it comes to coming to church, coming to students, growing spiritually. In the same way that we would anything else that we know is best for them. We all know what it's like as an adult to say, no, you have to do your math homework because that's what's expected of you. Yes, you have to brush your teeth. Go brush your teeth. Did you brush your teeth? We don't let them make choices about other areas of their life. Why do we let them make choices about their spiritual development, about whether or not they're coming to church? Sometimes I think it's because we think they can catch up later, that there's time down the road for that. But the longer we hold off and the longer that we wait, the greater the deficit will be. There is someone in our church who not too long ago posted something on social media unprompted. I didn't ask her to do it, but when I saw it, I was very intrigued by her, by the answers. She asked just Facebook, like, what is something that you wish your parents had done for you when you were a kid? What is something you wish you had more of as a child? You know what the top answers were? I wish that my parents had made us go to church more. I wish that they had made faith a bigger deal or that we'd been more involved in church, not just believing in God in our house, but being involved in our church. Some people said, I wish that our parents had given us the freedom to have hard conversations at home, that there'd been more ability for us to talk about real stuff in our home. That's what this is. Emotional, social, spiritual development, matters of the heart, and we can help with that.
Yeah.
This is where, again, we shine as a church. These were people saying this who have already become adults. Some of them had children already. And they're saying, we see the value of it now that we're grown. But what I'm saying is you can change that now as an adult for your own family, and we can help.
Yeah, and you are the parent.
Yeah, you are the parent.
And the cool thing is the writer of Proverbs gives all parents a promise. Check out this verse. He says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. So as parents, we have some training to do. We have some things to do to help our kids, our students, be in the right place. And it all comes down to what we value. Do we value the things of God? Do we value church? If we do, then we have to train our kids, our families, in the same way. Mm-hmm. We have some work to do. We have to work at pointing our families to Jesus. Yeah.
Well, and here's, value is a great word because we've had a lot of conversations lately, Danielle and I, because we have officially closed the book on elementary. Like, we're done. Our oldest is going to middle school. And so a lot of our social circle is the same way. And we've had lots of conversations with people that don't attend our church. Just conversations. Danielle's kind of, people pull her aside and say, hey, can I ask you a question? Hey, can I ask you a question? And the questions are, they're universal parent questions. And they're always about, how do I help my middle school or high school student? How do I make sure they have the right friends? How do I make sure they make the best choices? How do I make sure they do wise things? They don't know they're asking at this point, but they're basically saying, man, how do I make sure my child is doing things God would want to do? How do I make sure they're building their life on Jesus? And we try to give answers, and we're helpful, like, man, get in church. But here's what I'll tell you. Every parent in this room, you want your middle schooler to make great choices in middle school. You want your high schooler to make great choices in high school, and you want them to grow and to be healthy adults. Everybody wants that. And one of the things we're talking about today is there does seem to be this idea that they'll figure it out when they get there. And that may be true. We have plenty of adults in this room who came to Christ as adults. Mm-hmm. And God and you're figuring it out. But I want better for my kids than I have. I want my kids to be more equipped. You know, when the kid turns 15, that's probably not the first time you've talked to them about driving. And one of the things that I'm experiencing and seeing and pretty passionate about is if we want healthy middle school students, if we want healthy high school students, if we want those things for middle school and high school, it begins in elementary school. Mm-hmm. It begins then. And that's why I just love the fact that we have a family who leads from birth through high school, because it's such a seamless transition from what we're doing in our elementary environments, preparing them for middle school, and in middle school, preparing them for high school, partnering with you. And this isn't to condemn, this is to invite. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is to say, if you want that for them tomorrow, begin the process today.
Yeah.
And let us partner with you in it, so that when they go to middle school, you have the normal fears, but you're not worried about the choices they're going to make. And you're not worried about the friends they're going to have, because they've already made those friends. They've already built a foundation upon which they're going to walk in middle school and high school, as opposed to having to build that foundation in real time. That's the value of being a part of a church that begins family ministry at the beginning and has a strategy to take you from birth all the way through graduation. Yeah. End of sermon. Yeah.
And we hope that means that you're bringing them here. Yeah. We hope that this is the place that you call home. But we just want you to get them somewhere.
Amen.
Find a church that they can connect them to Jesus. If it's here, awesome. We hope it is. If it's not, find a church that will connect your family to Jesus.
Yeah, please hear that. And we're not just saying, like, we mean that. Like obviously we're invested here. We think this is the best place in town to raise a family. But if we're not for you, man, please, I can recommend some other great churches. I really can. But we're not saying you have to be in this church. But we are saying the best choice you can ever make for your family is to devote your life to a local church.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
To be there regularly, to serve, to attend, to be a part of it, because of what it creates and the muscle memory it gives and the foundation it gives for life.
Yeah.
And here, I'll tread lightly this time, April. Last thing. Over the last 16, 18 months, there's been a lot of changes. There was a time in which our church literally couldn't meet physically. We had to meet online only. And as we've come back, segments of people have stayed online only, and I totally understand that. If you are an adult, you guys remember virtual school? Yeah.
Who liked that?
How'd you like that?
No. We got booze.
Hey, virtual children environments are even worse. Mm-hmm. They don't exist. And so, as school starts back, just a general loving reminder. Really, you guys are here, so we're not talking to you. to the people we love online. And again, if we're not the church for you, man, find one that is. But yeah, adults can sit and watch online and sing. Kids can't. Mm-hmm. Middle school students can't really. Y'all remember when we used to try to watch church online with our middle schoolers?
Oh, the worst.
And you know this, and I know you've said, hey man, when school starts back, we'll get back in a routine. Well, guess what? School starts back.
Yeah.
And we just wanted to take some time to remind you of the benefit of God's church, and to help you understand what he wants for you and for your family, and to maybe be that little spur, that little encouragement, to make a new marker in your life, to make a new, not changing, to make a new habit of Sunday mornings being a time where you attend. Again, we love it to be this church, but a church together weekly where you can serve and invest your life so that the heart of not just your kids, but of yours will be growing together and growing towards God and growing toward everything he wants and he has planned. Because here's what I know. As big as your dream and as big as your vision is for your kid's life, God's is bigger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
God has plans for your kids that you can't even imagine. And our privilege is to partner with you to equip them to take the steps to walk into whatever God has planned for them. So thank you guys for being a part of this. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being a church that loves families and allows us to do this. So let me close this with prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. And God, we really are. We're just so thankful. I know I am to be a part of a church and get to lead a church that loves families and that cares about families growing towards you. Lord, I just pray for every single family in this room, every student, every elementary student going back to school in a week and a half. God, just prepare their hearts. I pray your safety over them. I pray your protection. I pray your wisdom. Father, I pray for all the families who are gearing up. Lord, I pray for a successful launch to the next school year. And Lord, I just pray that our hearts will be drawn, not just to you, but to your church, to the benefits of walking in community. Father, may we make plans today. May we take steps today that will strengthen our faith, that will strengthen our children's faith, and that will truly pay dividends for generations to come. We love you. We thank you. And it's your son's name we pray. Amen.